And so how many people got the slick text that my husband sent out concerning the service today? A few people here. And so we are now starting Prayer 200, and hopefully you can come. Even if you can't come every week, when you're available, come and pray. Come and learn how to pray. Amen? And that's one of the privileges and the blessings we have as being a believer, right? We're not left not knowing what to do. We're not left not knowing how to get answers. Amen? And so come and pray with us in Prayer 200 on Wednesday nights. And it seemed to me, you know, these were some things I was meditating in for my own life, and it seemed like it would be a good foundation for us, seeing that we do have Prayer 200 now, because we don't want to just pray to pray, right? We're not coming together to pray just to say, hey, we had a big prayer group and we prayed, you know. We need to be coming, and our prayers have an effect, right? And so I don't want to just pray empty prayers, do you? No, we want to pray something that changes things, that turns things, that brings God's things to the earth. Amen. And so the way that we do that is that we have believing prayer. And so today the Holy Ghost would have us to know some things concerning faith and how to believe. Because it doesn't matter if we pray if we don't first believe, right? Have you ever prayed for something and prayed for it for a long time? You know, you're praying weeks and months and maybe even a year or more. And maybe even after a while, you collected up some of your Christian friends to help you pray for this because it's not coming to pass. And it's frustrating, isn't it, at times? And so sometimes the reason that has happened is because we're just praying. And yet we haven't believed before we're praying. You know, there's something that's come up in my own personal life just recently that needs prayer, needs to change. I need this to turn around. But I know that my faith isn't as strong as it maybe should be in this area. And so I haven't yet prayed for it. And I know that might seem alarming, like hurry up and pray for it. You know, you want God to do something. Yes, but I need to first make sure I'm believing. And I know I'm not believing like I should in that area yet, so I don't want to pray. You know why? Because you actually lose faith in your own prayers when you're praying something you don't really believe in yet, right? And it's not that I don't believe it. It's just that I don't yet believe it to the point where when I pray, I know it's going to manifest. So actually, I'm encouraged and I have more confidence just taking his word and studying in his word in that area at this time. And so I encourage you, don't just pray, make sure you first believe. And we know as Christians, as a full gospel church, that believing is a lifestyle. You know, we're still at the beginning of a year. And so, you know, many times at the beginning of the year, we make these New Year's resolutions, these things we're going to change, right? And many times it's in the area of your body and diet and exercise, right? And so, and sometimes it could even be that, you know, your cholesterol is high, or maybe you're pre-diabetic or you're diabetic, or you have something going on, you know, with your insulin or whatever, and you've decided you'd like to lose some weight, right? Or you're going to eat a little bit healthier. But the problem is, when someone does that, as soon as the weight comes off, or as soon as the numbers go down that they need to, What do many people do? Revert back to the way they used to eat, right? Why? Because it isn't yet a lifestyle. They did that for a moment when there was a difficulty, when there was a trial, when something alarming came. And we have done that sometimes as Christians. We've all done it, right? I've done it. I just admit it. I've done it. Where something comes up, and now we've got to cram concerning faith, right? Because it's kind of like this diet. But when you start getting in the word and start believing, don't be like, you know, those diets and just in a couple months let it fade. Let's let it be a lifestyle. This is how God meant for us to live. Remember, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. And how is it that we please God? Having faith, right? And I want you to know it's not hard. It's an easy thing, but it does take time and effort. Amen. So go over here with me, if you will, to Mark chapter 6. And I would like to share some examples with you out of the Word. And it may be surprising to some that in these examples, we're going to see what Jesus said really turned things around. Excuse me, Mark chapter 5. I don't know if I told you 6, but Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. And you know, I was thinking about this. On a daily basis, my sister Sarah and I will text with my mom. We have a group text. And I, as a hobby, as something that I like to do for fun, I enjoy looking up things concerning decorating and design and that sort of thing for my home. And so I get books concerning that and magazines concerning that. And this magazine came to my house, and on the front cover was this beautiful room. And it had just the most beautiful colors, and the prints on the chairs were beautiful. And I took a picture of the front of it, and I sent it to my sister and my mom. And I said, look at the picture of this room. Isn't this stunning? And my mom texted back, and she said, you can have that. And then I opened up the magazine, and there's like a full spread. It's more details on the room, and beautiful light blue dining room chairs, and a brick wall, and some nice white big pillars, and this patterned pink chair, and two beautiful off-white sofas, and it was just stunning. And so the whole spread, and I took a picture of that, and I said, you know, this is beautiful, isn't it? And my mom said, you can have that too. And you know, it does something to you knowing that. And I thought about that with our Father. You know, you open up any page and he says, you can have that. And you open up the next page and he said, you can have that too. Whatever you want out of this book, he already said, you can have it. Your Father said you can have it. Amen. But do you believe? That's the thing. And we have to make sure that we're not church-minded. You know, that we're Bible-minded. Because sometimes we think something because maybe a denominational church that we went to taught us that. Or maybe your parents told you something. Maybe you simply made it up yourself. Have you ever made up wrong things yourself and believed it? I mean, I have. But God said he wants us to be Bible-minded. So take everything that you think or you're tempted to believe and see if it's really in the Word. Amen. So let's see Mark chapter 5. And we're going to see two examples at once of what Jesus said when two people were in need and how they got their answer. We'll start here. Mark chapter 5, verse 21, please. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh into the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at home at the point of death, and I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. So just the way he's talking to Jesus shows he has belief that Jesus can do something about this. And Jesus went with him. So now Jesus has agreed he's going to go and minister to Jairus' daughter. And so much people followed him and thronged him. Now, verse 25, there's an interruption. Here Jairus is going with Jesus for his daughter to be ministered to, and there's an interruption. You know, when your child needs ministered to, the last thing you want is an interruption, right? And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And so there was a difference, right? There's a whole crowd of people, and they're all trying to touch him. And And so, you know, imagine if there was one person in the circle of the midst of all of these people in this church here. You know, you would sense all these people around you trying to get something from you. But he noticed a difference when she touched him. And what was the difference? He looked around to see her that had done this thing, verse 32. Now, verse 33, but knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Listen to these words. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. And go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And so I want you to see something about this, that Jesus did not say her crying, her begging, her pleading, or her praying. He did not say her praying made her whole. He said her believing made her whole. And sometimes you don't even need to pray if you believe. You just command something to be a certain way. You don't even need, listen, if we'll do the work of believing, praying is much shorter and much easier. And we don't have to collect up all our friends to help believe with us. So if we'll learn how to believe, Jesus said, we'll be made whole. But other things can be made whole too, right? Your marriage can be made whole, your difficulty at work or in your family. Now, verse 35, and while he yet spake, now Jesus is talking, he's speaking to this woman, and while he's talking, there came from the ruler of the synagogue, so this is Jairus' home, someone from the synagogue, a synagogue's house certain, which said, thy daughter is dead, why trouble the master any further? So while Jesus is here ministering to this woman with the issue of blood, Jairus' daughter dies, right? And here's what Jesus said. As soon as he heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. He did not tell Jairus, start praying, Jairus. You better get praying, Jairus. Quick, who can you get to agree with you, Jairus? Could you go to the amplified version of this scripture, please? Overhearing what was being said, Jesus said to the official, do not be afraid, only keep believing. And so when you get a bad report, what's the temptation? Be afraid. And he said, don't be afraid, believe. And we're going to learn how to do that, how to ignore what's trying to make us afraid and believe. And so if we go down through the rest of that account, which is the rest of verse 5 or the chapter 5, you'll see that Jairus's daughter was brought back from the dead because she really did die while he was ministering to that woman. And so he goes and Jesus raises him from the dead. So we must know what? Jairus did believe. If his daughter comes to life, he must have been believing, right? And so let's look at one other example, if you will, over here in Matthew chapter 15. These are just three examples out of the word, but I could give you others. The importance of believing. And sometimes we have tried to pray and not believe, and we've wondered why we're stuck. Because your prayer can't stand by itself. It must have your belief in back of it. And matter of fact, if you aren't believing yet, I wouldn't even pray. I would take time to believe. And it's very simple. You look in God's word, you study his word, and you get it inside of you. You know, while I'm riding in my car, I'm listening to the word. At night while I'm sleeping, I have Brother Hagin reading healing scriptures to me. You know, while I'm cooking or doing something else, I am listening to God's word. And so get his word in you. It moves you to a place of believing. Matthew chapter 15, verse 22. We're going to see this other example. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So you understand, she was not an Israelite. She did not have a covenant. We have a covenant. Amen. Do you remind God of that? God, this is what you promised me. Now, I made promises to you, but you made these to me, and I'm not going without. And so he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Now, this is an important part of believing. If you're going to believe, you must worship him for the promises he's given. For example, if you're believing for strength and health in your body and you're confessing 1 Peter 2:24, you read that scripture out loud and then you worship him for it being real in your body. Amen. Before you actually see it, right? And people say, well, I don't believe in things I can't see. I don't believe in things I haven't seen. But that's just really not true. You know, we were talking last night, and I had asked the congregation in Erie, you know, how many people in this room have been to Tokyo, Japan? And no one in the room had been to Japan. And I said, but you believe it's real, right? I mean, all that happened was someone wrote it in your history book. Your teacher read you that history book, and you believe Japan was real, right? But as far as you know, maybe it's not, because you've never seen it. You've never touched your feet on that soil. You've never eaten the food out of those Japanese restaurants and shopped in those shopping districts, right? So how do you know it's real? Well, you just believe the reports of other people who said it was real. Imagine that. That we take the reports of other people and just choose to believe it's real, even though we haven't seen it, right? We talked about the solar system. Have you ever been to Mars? Have you ever been to Pluto? Have you ever been to Venus? No, but we believe the solar system is real, do we not? Why? Simply because somebody drew a picture of it in a science book, showed us the picture and told us it was real, and now we believe it. And actually, if I even asked how many people in this room have ever looked through a... Thank you. I keep wanting to say stethoscope, and that is not the right word. Don't look through a stethoscope. Thank you. Telescope. I even have one, okay? If I asked even how many people in this room have looked through one of those to even see something up in the sky in outer space you can't see with your naked eye, most people wouldn't even have done that. And so we know it's not hard to believe in things we haven't seen. We just want to use that as an excuse because we don't want to study this to believe things we haven't seen. But it's still real. And I still believe it until I see it manifested in my body. Amen. In matter of fact, if you're believing, it's for something you haven't yet seen. Otherwise, you don't need faith for it because you just see it. So you're either seeing it or you're believing it, one or the other. I just choose to believe. I'm that simple. I just choose to believe whatever he said is true. Because if we can go to school and just believe what they tell us, how much more that our Heavenly Father has promised us things we don't yet see. So let's go over here to Matthew 21. Matthew 21. Verse 22, and let's see what believing really is. Because sometimes people feel like it's this far off kind of foggy idea that, you know, really spiritual Christians do, they believe, you know, like it's a churchy word. But no, having faith is what all Christians should do as a lifestyle. Amen. It's just that many times we don't. We think coming to church is enough. But listen, I'm not here just to do enough. I'm here to know my Heavenly Father more, aren't you? Matthew 21, verse 22 says, "All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer," and here's the caveat. Here is the requirement. Here is the prerequisite. Sure, you can ask in prayer, but first, in order for you to receive, you must believe. So what you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. Many people want to just say, what things soever you ask in prayer, you receive. No, that's not true. Because you can ask or want a lot of things and still not have it. If you haven't done the middle part of the verse, which is the believing part, right? That's the work. The easy part is the asking. So let's see what believing really looks like. Here's what believing looks like. that you have faith or trust in a person. You know what that looks like if you're married, right? You have, and I always tell my kids, listen, you don't just get my trust, you must earn it. Because I'm not a fool, right? You know, I don't just trust you by faith. No, you actually have to do something for me to trust you. And so to have faith in a person or to trust them. Listen to this. Have we done this? To entrust one's spiritual well-being to Christ. To entrust our spiritual well-being to Christ. Oh, here comes a heavy one. To commit to. Are you committed to him? You're not believing yet if you haven't committed to him. To place confidence in. To place confidence in. To trust Jesus to aid you either in obtaining or doing something. To trust Jesus to aid you either in obtaining or in doing something. Do we do that? Do we trust him? You know, I like to think of these things in terms of natural illustrations. You know, my husband and I, we've been married almost 18 years now. And the longer I've known him and the longer we've been married, the more I trust him. Why? Because the longer you're married and, you know, the more time you spend together, the more that you learn about that person, you learn their integrity, and you trust them more. And the more you trust someone, the more confidence you have that they're going to be a doer of their word, that they're going to do what they say they're going to do, right? So sometimes we just haven't known him enough that we trust him yet. Amen? And how do we know him? Through his word and through prayer. Amen? And let's see what believing is not. Are you ready? Believing is not hoping. Have you ever heard people say, well, we better hope and pray this turns around? Well, it won't. If you're saying, well, we better hope and pray this turns around, it's not. You're already, you know, that's not happening. Because believing is what turns it around. And believing whether you command it or you pray it. But you don't always have to pray it. Sometimes you just say it. Believing is not hoping. So if you're hoping for something, you haven't yet moved into believing, right? But it is the precursor to believing, so don't lose hope. And this, believing is not future tense. When people say, well, we'll have it. No, I have it now. Faith is always now. Now, when we think about the Bible, we think about what? The past. Remember the Israelites and the book of Genesis, God created things, and we think about Revelation concerning the future. But what about all those books in the middle? That's for now. God isn't just in the past and in the future. He's right now. And then in 10 minutes, he'll be right now again. And in 2 minutes, he'll be now again. So God's always now. So if you're looking for something in the future, you're just hoping. But if you think it's now, then you're in faith, right? So if you get done praying with somebody and you go, so do you have it? And they go, I hope so. Well, they don't. And so work with them some more till they can get to a place of believing so they can actually have it. If somebody ends a prayer and says, well, I hope so. No, they don't have it yet. So keep working with them till they have it. They have to get to a place of believing. Also this, if they're without a verse to stand on, they're just hoping. If you're believing, you have verses you're standing on. Just get two or three for each thing you need or you want. But if you don't have a verse, you just have hope. Also, here's what it looks like to not be believing, begging and pleading and crying. Now, don't misunderstand me. Sometimes under the weight of a pressure or a financial difficulty or a physical difficulty, you may have an emotional break for a minute or two, but you're not wailing and crying all the time. So believing does not look like crying and pleading and begging. No, it looks like, God, you said this in your word, and if you didn't mean it, you shouldn't have said it to me. But seeing that you said it, I'm not going without it. That's how we talk to him. Confidence. Also this, you know, belief can stand alone. Everybody else might be doing something different, but if I believe in something, I can stand my ground on it. But if you're just hoping, you're swayed by everybody, and you need to make sure there's 50 to 100 people, you know, all your friends, people on Facebook agreeing with you because you don't really believe. You're just hoping, right? 2 Corinthians 13:5. Let's see what the Bible tells us to do concerning believing. There are instructions for us. We're all in the same boat. We all are required to believe. You say, well, Pastor Katie, I don't know how to do that. This seems kind of complicated. Well, are you born again? Yeah, you're born again. If you're born again, you believed. What does that mean? You heard the word and you simply said, I want that. That's for me and I'm going to take it. That's all that happened. That's as simple as believing is. Amen. So you find another scripture in the Bible and you say, I want that. I take that for myself. It's mine. That's believing. It's not hard. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says this, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Christians? Christians must examine ourselves whether we're in the faith. Because you can be a Christian and not be believing. You can just be coasting and hoping. But I'd rather believe than coast and hope. Amen. Because the coasting and the hoping life is a hard life. Oh, it's a hard life. But the believing life, there may be difficulties and trials and things that come against you. Oh, but there's confidence in his scriptures and his word and his promises. There's comfort and mercy and grace when you're standing on his word. Hallelujah. We worship you for that, Father. Hallelujah. You've helped us. You helped us in our times of weakness, in the times that we've failed, we've faltered, we've misstepped. Oh, your mercy and grace, your goodness and your love, the heart of a father toward his children. Oh, we can't thank you enough, Lord. We worship you. Oh, you've been so good. You're so good. We worship you. Hallelujah. Now I want to tell you something. If you're believing, there's a grit to you. You know, I heard Brother Hagin tell this story, and he said he went to a church to have a meeting. You know, back in those times, they had revivals for 3, 4, 5 or more weeks. And he'd been at a church, a certain church, for so many weeks. And it was around the holiday time. And he and his wife needed a certain amount of money just to pay their bills. And then they needed a little bit of money to get their kids some Christmas presents. And so he and his wife agreed on a certain amount that at the end of the meetings on the Sunday night, they would have it. So he and his wife came together, you know, found out how much the bills would cost and what they needed to get the kids a present, and they believed God for that amount. So the services are done, the week is over, and he's there with the pastor after the Sunday night service, and he asked the pastor about the offering, and he said, oh, I guess the ushers left it at the church. We'll go and get it and bring it over. And so Brother Hagin said, you know, I'm believing for this amount. And so they divided up the offering, and the pastor's going to count half, and Brother Hagin's going to count half. And they each count their half, and they add it up. And he said, you know, the pastor said, well, Brother Hagin, we're a little bit short. And he goes, oh, no. We got to count this again. So they each count their half. They add it back up, and still they're short what Brother Hagin and his wife are believing, right? So he said, let's switch piles. So then they switch piles of what they're counting in the offering, and still the money didn't add up. And Brother Hagin said, listen, Pastor, I don't know what to tell you because my wife and I believe for this certain amount. And either this amount is going to come in or I'm going back to your church and every church I preached before then to tell them believing God doesn't work. And it works. So he said, count it again. So Brother Hagin counts his half, Pastor counts his half, comes up short again. And Brother Hagin said, Pastor, I just want to tell you, I'm not leaving here tonight until this amount shows up that I believe God for. And he said, Brother, that word is true and I believed it. And a minute later, Brother Hagin remembered someone gave him an envelope. It was in a suit coat pocket. And he pulled it out and counted it, and it was more than enough than they had believed for. And I want you to know there are things coming that will try to tell you you're not getting what you believe for. I know you prayed and you thought you were in faith, but this circumstance came up and hey, you're not getting it. You better say, this circumstance is a lie because I believe the word and it's coming to pass for me. And another circumstance a week later is coming up again to try and tell you you didn't believe. But it doesn't matter. Because his word is true, but he needs someone to believe it's true. Do you believe it's true? Amen. Then you got to act like it's true before you see it. If you never see Tokyo, Japan, is it still real? I don't know. You haven't seen it. If you never see Bigfoot, is he still real? He's real. I'm telling you, they're going to catch him. My husband has a shirt we got when we were in Estes Park, Colorado, Rocky Mountain National Park. And it has a picture of a Sasquatch on it. And it says underneath it, he doesn't believe in you either. Because, hey, he's real. I'm going to see him one day. Ask Pastor Jeff. He knows he's real. My kids sort of wonder if I really believe he's real. He's real. I'm telling you. You got to believe. And there might come up one thing that tries to tell you you're not believing, another thing to tell you it's not coming to pass, another thing to tell you God's word isn't true. And listen, you be like Brother Hagin. You remember that example and you say, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what's going on around me. His word is true and it's coming to pass. I believed. So something around me is going to have to change because his word never changes. He's the God who changes not. His word is forever settled. It is God-breathed. He just needs someone to take him at his word. Do you take your spouse at their word? Oh, yes, you do. If my husband tells me he's buying me something, he's going to buy it. Remember last week? I'm home watching on live stream, and he's talking about, ladies, don't send your husband any pictures of stuff you want. First thing I did when service gets out, this is the next thing I want. And I didn't just send a picture. I sent the link because you can buy it easy with the link. He didn't even need to do any work. Just touch that little thing, hit pay, mine. I'm not trying to make it hard for him. I'm easy going. So go here with me, if you will, to Exodus 17. I believe, do you? Yeah, I believe. Exodus 17, verse 7. Exodus 17, 7. Now, remember this. We talk about this many times. The Old Testament. God's people in slavery in Egypt for many, 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 many years. What was it? 400 years, right? They're in slavery. God supernaturally brings them out, right? Have you ever looked out in your yard and seen frogs all over? Have you seen it rain down frogs? No. He did supernatural things for them to bring them out. And so they saw one thing after another. God supernaturally moved. They saw it. Then they come out and the sea is parted and it's, you know, on a heap on one side, a heap on another, and they walk through the middle to safety. And, you know, if you think about that, the enemy was not permitted to follow into God's plan with his people. Because as soon as they stepped foot and tried to follow on God's plan for their life, that sea came back together and swallowed them up. So the enemy may make pursuit, but he can't go into God's plan where you can go. He will not prevail. There may be a weapon formed against you, but it will not prosper. There may be an enemy at your feet, but if you believe, God will do something about it. So listen, then the sea is parted. You know, the Bible said he brought quail for them. He's brought manna for them. He brought water out of a rock for them. And they have seen it all. It wasn't like a story their ancestors told them. They lived that. They saw God do these things. And here's what they said in the B part of the verse. Is the Lord among us or not? Is the Lord among us or not? He just supernaturally gave you food every single day. First you had bread, you complain about that, so he gave you some meat. Then you get some meat, you get water out of a rock. He brought you through the middle of a sea. I don't know about you, but I never went by Lake Erie and there was a path in the middle and people walking through. They watched him do it. And they still said, is the Lord among us or not? So people think if they see it, they'll believe. Wrong. They saw it. They didn't believe. And they saw him do something over and over and over and over again. And they still didn't believe. They're still asking, is God among us? Is God among us? When they saw him do all these wonderful things. And so people say, well, I need to see God do something before I'll believe. No, wrong. You're never going to believe then. Because they saw and still didn't believe. Remember what we said, believing requires not seeing. But if you believe, then you'll see it. And they're wondering after seeing him do all these wonderful things, is God here with us? Why? Because believing him is of the heart and you don't have to see it to believe it. But if you believe it, you'll see it. So let's go through real quickly. The Bible said that we're to examine ourselves if we're in the faith. So let's just look at a few things about how you can test to see if you're believing. Number one, are you thinking right? Remember we talked about being Bible-minded. Sometimes the Bible will line up with what we think and sometimes it won't. And when it doesn't line up with what we think, we don't wait for the Bible to change because it's never changing. So if you look in the Bible and your thinking isn't in line with the word, you change your thinking. Remember, Joshua said that you should meditate in his word day and night. Why? So you think right. When you think right, life becomes easy for you. I'm not saying everything will be easy. I'm saying even the hard things you face will be easier. So if you'll think right, it will help you to believe and life will become easier for you. Even in time of difficulty. And listen, your family may have even told you things that aren't true. They didn't mean to, not that they were trying to lie to you, but you know, have you ever been told, you know, we, at least people in my age group, our parents grew up working a lot of hours, working a lot of jobs. And if you weren't working a lot of hours, working a lot of jobs, you were lazy. And they didn't mean to, but they just implied rest is for lazy people. Or maybe some people even said it. Don't lay on the couch. That's just lazy. But that doesn't line up with the word. Because the word commanded us one day of rest every week. And so are you thinking that, you know, you shouldn't rest because it's lazy? Well, that doesn't line up with the word. You got to think right in every area. So whether it's something you thought on your own, someone told you, or your parents told you, make sure your thinking lines up with the word. Excuse me. Let's go on to number three. So we have one, think right. Oh, two. We're only on two. Hebrews 4:14. If you could just bring that up on the screen. Let us hold fast our profession. What does that mean? Our profession. If you look it up, it really says this. Let us hold fast to saying the same things. Well, what are we going to say? I'm not really sure. But you might find it in here. you say about you what God said about you. Let us hold fast to saying those same things. You say you're healed every single day, even when your body doesn't feel it, until it changes. We must say what we believe. So one, we're going to think right. Two, we're going to hold fast to our profession. Number three, we talked about this as well. Fellowship. Fellowship. Remember, with my husband, you know someone over a period of time. You talk with them. You have an intimate relationship with them, and that you're telling them things and they're telling you things. And when that happens, your fellowship grows. Reverend Randy, you'll remember this. Back in the day when we went to the Fredonia Church, there was a minister that came and he used to say, no hot tip without some fellowship. And what does that mean? That means all the things you want to know from God, you get it through fellowship. So you want to tell him, you want him to tell you who to marry, where, to, what house to buy, what investment to make, all those things. It comes through fellowship. You want a tip from God? Have some fellowship. Amen. And fourth, walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Walk by faith, not by sight. Remember, if we're seeing it, it's not requiring faith. And listen, remember, you know, you've heard this saying, the end of your faith. What is the end of your faith? That the thing you're believing for comes to pass. And then guess what? You get to move on to believing for something else. Because as soon as one thing manifests, you have another thing to believe for. And remember this, you know, your faith is not an endless bucket, you know. You can't just go get everything and anything you want all at once. You know, some people ask me, how do you pray for everything? I don't. I pray for the things that the Lord puts on my heart or my pastor assigns me. You know, I have to be led because I don't have faith for every single person's thing. I have faith for what God assigns me. And so don't let somebody put what they want on your faith unless it's on your heart to do, because you don't have faith for everybody's stuff. Now, I'm not saying don't be generous with your faith. Of course you are, but be led about what you're generous, you know, believing for or praying for. Because sometimes what happens is people will come and ask you to believe or pray for something for them because they either don't know how or they don't want to, but they know you have faith for it. And sometimes you can use up all your faith on things that you weren't assigned, and then you don't have any left for the things that God assigned. Because you might not know, someone else might already be praying for that person who was led to pray. And the best prayer is the one that you're led to pray, not the one you assigned yourself to, right? Okay, and lastly, faith rejoices. 1 Peter 1:6-8. We rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And so it's really a test to see, what do we believe? We believe what we rejoice over. If you're not rejoicing, you're not yet in faith. And listen, you don't have to feel like rejoicing to rejoice. You just do it anyway as an act of faith. I thank you, Father, that this word is true. I don't care if I don't see it. I don't care if I don't feel it right now. I know you promised it, and I shall have it. And then you rejoice, right? In faith. So part of faith is rejoicing before you even see it. Amen. Are you encouraged today to believe? Because we want our prayers to actually do something, to change something, to bring something about, to have an effect. And the way that that happens is we believe. Amen. So let's pray. Father, we thank you. Father, the first step of believing is to believe you as our Lord and Savior. And if there's anyone here in the service today, and you have not yet asked Jesus into your heart as Lord and Savior, but you would like to, I ask you to raise your hand and we will all pray with you. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart as Lord and Savior, but you'd like to make that step today and believe on him, you can raise your hand and we'll all pray together. There are many believers here in this room today, and they would happily rejoice with you about having Jesus as your Savior. Is there anyone that would like to make that commitment today? So I don't see any hands right now. Is there anyone here that would like to rededicate their life? Is there anyone here that would like to rededicate their life? I see that hand. You can put that down. Anyone else? I see that hand. Is there anyone else that you walked away from the Lord? Maybe you haven't been in fellowship with him like you should or like you wanted to, but you want to be right with him today. You can just raise your hand and we'll all pray that together. Father, we thank you. I see that hand. I see that hand. So let's pray this. Father God, we thank you for your great love and your great mercy. Dear Lord, we repent. We have not lived for you as we know we should. Please forgive us. We thank you, Lord. We are now in right fellowship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Aren't you grateful? Aren't you thankful for his mercy and his patience with you? Hallelujah. And let's also take up our tithes and offerings. If you have that, the ushers will receive the tithes and offerings. Are we doing that at the door or in the seats? At the door. Okay. So you can just drop your tithes and your offerings in the bucket on the way out. Or if there are people in the drive-through service, they can also be dismissed now and the ushers will take that. So why don't you stand with me to your feet? Now, don't forget, come back here Wednesday night at 6:30 for prayer 200. You don't want to miss it. Now that you know how to believe, praying will be easy. Amen. Let's worship him. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord. We worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.